Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Creator. Chapter 6. The divine purpose of the Gospel of exalting the eternal Creator and Offerer of the Gospel. After approaching the aspect of the purposes of the Gospel in its great groups as to what has already been fulfilled and the gifts that the Lord offers so that a person may relate to the endless source of newness of life, we would still like to address some purposes that God established in the Gospel regarding Himself, but which, ultimately, also cooperate with those who perceive these purposes that the Lord has settled regarding Himself. Although the purposes of the Gospel always have in view the benefit of the recipients of it, God has also established that the purposes associated with the Gospel cooperate for the proclamation and the exaltation of the name and the glory of the offerer of this Gospel. When God offers His Gospel, He does it because He seeks for the good of all people, as we have seen previously, but God also does it for purposes related to Himself, as can be seen in several descriptions of the Scriptures. In this way, we exemplify, below, some texts in which are included, simultaneously, 1, the description of purposes aimed at the benefit of the recipients of the gifts of the Lord, as well as, 2, the description of specific purposes regarding the offerer of the referred gifts, as follows. Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jeremiah 32:39. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. Isaiah 42:6-8. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. When God pre-announced, then manifested, and continues to proclaim and offer His Gospel to the world, He certainly did it, and continues to do, to directly benefit human beings in an immeasurable way. However, the Lord has also done this, and continues to do so, for the sake of His name and His glory, and this too, so that human beings know that it is in the Lord that the benefits of the Gospel are found, or that there is no possibility of the existence of a true and beneficial Gospel dissociated from the Lord. The Gospel of God was also introduced into the world to announce to human beings many of the facets of God's glory and to make the glory of the Lord mainly known throughout the universe by what the Lord has been made available in Christ Jesus to all people. John 1, verses 14 and 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of God is powerful because it is an offer motivated from the profoundness of God's love for every human being. However, the Gospel of the Creator is also an unparalleled manifestation of power and love so that all people in the universe can come to know that the unique Creator of the heavens and earth is the Lord and that He alone is God. The Gospel of God is the presentation of an offer of incalculable and eternal benefits that God offers to each person. However, the gospel of God is also a testimony to all nations and peoples about God himself and how he acts, to the point that the predicted end of the present age is also directly associated with a broad announcement of this eternal gospel of the Creator of the heavens and earth. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. God's revelation about himself, through his gospel, is so sublime and perfect that once the testimony of this gospel has been duly and truly extended to all nations, there is no other higher testimony that God can give about himself so that people can be instructed to believe in him for receiving the salvation and the newness of life that is in the Lord. As mentioned in the previous chapter, the gospel of God was and continues to be presented to the world for countless purposes. God does not offer only one purpose through his gospel. God offers innumerable purposes through the gospel, to the point that the gospel needs to be presented by multiple compound names, such as the gospel of the heavenly kingdom, the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of God's righteousness, the gospel of the salvation, the gospel of the peace of the Lord, the gospel of the power of God, and finally the gospel of the glory of God, of Christ, and of the unfathomable riches of God in Christ Jesus. Aspects that will be approached particularly in the subjects ahead. Nevertheless, all the diversity or plurality of purposes of the gospel of God is directly and inseparably linked to the divine purpose that the glory of the Lord be revealed to the world through each part of the gospel, the glory of which people have distanced themselves so much because of their posture of rejection of God through sin. The multiplicity, plurality, or chaining of purposes, subjected to even more central or supreme purposes, as mentioned in the previous paragraph, is a vital aspect of the functioning of life in general, as can also be seen in the following text. Isaiah 28, 23-29. Give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Following yet the example of the text of Isaiah above, we can see in it that several purposes in life are crucial in some moments and dispensable in others, but that there are also purposes that will always remain indispensable or that should be present in all moments of an individual's life. A person, for instance, may plow and clean the land to plant grain in it, but one does so because one also longs for a multiplied production or harvest of the seeded grains. The grains harvested, in turn, can be associated with multiple purposes, since part of the grains can be used for various processes of consumption or distribution with their respective purposes, while still another part of the grains should be stored to serve as seeds for new sowing and harvesting. In the end, however, looking from the perspective of more central or supreme purposes than others, the process of sowing grains aims to produce food for the sustenance of physical life, which, in turn, should not only aim at earthly and material objectives, for the soul is eternal. Some specific activities of the productive chain exemplified in the writings of the prophet Isaiah receive a greater or less importance according to the time pertinent to each of them, but it can also be observed in the same writings that there is an activity that should be present in the life of a human being continually and in all of his or her affairs, namely, the constant instruction of God that gives life and support to every good purpose that a person may have. Thus, given the vast diversity of processes and more temporal objectives, human beings need to be very careful not to become excessively involved with some of these purposes so that they do not distance themselves from the perception of the glory of God and the Lord's more central or supreme purposes for them. John 6:27-29. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In every way, God's creation is amazing and wonderful. And when God offered the created things for the human being so that one can benefit from them, God put the human being in a peculiar or highly favorable position, as expressed in the following psalm. Psalms 8:1-9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, you have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field. The birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God's creation is hugely wonderful in all directions that a person can look. If one looks at the sky, one can realize that it is amazing every new day. If one looks at the fields and the mountains and observes their beauties, one sees that they are immeasurable. If one observes the living species on the planet, one can see that its beauty shows new facets every moment. If someone examines the depths of the earth or the microorganisms that are everywhere on the planet, one can see that also in the deep or the smaller things there is an unfathomable universe. God has always allowed and continues to permit the human being to have broad access to countless aspects of what he has created and to benefit from the created things. Nevertheless, there is a central aspect in the relationship of the human being with the creation that opposes the essence of what was established by God, for this aspect opposes the principle of the truth of the facts and the eternal glory of the Lord. When the human being begins to disregard the unique and sovereign position of the Creator of his or her life regarding other aspects of the creation, one begins to follow the path of lies and begins to spread distorted facts about the Creator, about oneself, and all creation, moving away from what is due to the name of God and his everlasting glory. The sin that led Adam and Eve to fall and that continues to tempt people on earth always had and continues to have its root in the questioning or confrontation of the unique position and glory of God regarding the whole creation. A root that is invariably also expressed by the attempts to place the creation in a God-like position, or at least by the attempts to set the creation in a position where it no longer needs to be as dependent on God as it should be. Through Adam, the sin that confronts the glory of the Creator came to enter humankind, also extending throughout all generations that followed. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Both the attempts to place the creation in a position equivalent to the position of the Creator, as the attempts to set the creation in a position of independence of God, aim to obtain an autonomy of the creation regarding its Creator, even if partial. In other words, the root of sin that leads human beings to their downfall is the positioning, posture, or action of opposition and resistance precisely against the one who created them, a position which, in turn, and as already mentioned, expresses a set of attempts against the truth of how the creation was conceived and established. As stated in Psalm 8, God, in creating man, established him in a remarkably noble and sublime position, crowned him with glory. However, at no time did God instruct the human being to try, by any means or reasons, to put aside one's creator. Psalm 8 declares the noble position of the human being, but this psalm begins by stating that it was God who did it, as well as it ends by announcing that it is to God that belongs the glory and honor of having created the human being and having placed him in the noble position in which he was placed regarding other aspects of the creation. God granted the human being access to a large part of the creation so that, under the instruction of the Creator, one would benefit from it, and not so that, out of passion or attraction to the creation, the human being would turn away from God. The human being was not conceived by God to manage the creation just by humans themselves or to surrender to the creation to be managed by it. A tree or any other aspect of nature was not created to manage a person's life. No animal was created by God to be constituted as an idol that instructs or guides a person's life. Humans were not created to be the guides, idols, or gods in the lives of their fellow men. And even angels do not receive from God a position to be the guides, idols, gods, or the head of people's lives. Every human being needs God's personal instruction to live the life according to God's will for him or her. And even the angels need the instruction of God to act for the people in accordance with the will of the Lord, as it is taught in the following psalm. Psalms 91, 1, 2, 11, and 14-16. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him, I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him my salvation. God did not create the human being for independence from the Creator, nor created the human being so that they seek wisdom only in the created things. God created the human being to live and walk in continual fellowship with the Lord and the dependence on the Creator. It can be concluded, then, looking at the above considerations also from another angle, that the worst loss a human being can suffer is not the loss of items of the creation, such as goods and resources. The worst loss of a human being is also not the loss of a loved one or even the loss of his or her life on earth. The worst loss a human being can suffer is the loss of the personal relationship with the Creator. 1 John 2, 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Any loss that a human being may have, no matter how painful, sad, or difficult it may be, is in no way comparable to the loss of the relationship with the Creator of one's life. Many losses of the human beings can be restored by God in this life or the eternal life, except the loss of the relationship with one's Creator if a person insists on rejecting the one who created him or her. The human being, dissociated from the Creator, does not have the proper light to see how one should see the aspects that are most vital to his or her life. Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The human being, dissociated from the Creator, has the ability to soberly reason about the will of God and what is indeed important corrupted, not only about the present life but also regarding the life that comes after one's time in the present world. Therefore, if we say that one of the supreme purposes of God through the gospel is to save the human being, and indeed it is, We also need to know from what the human being needs to be saved. And the principal aspect of which every human being needs salvation is the lack of a living, personal, and intense relationship with the eternal Creator. The human being without the instruction of God does not understand the things of God, for he obscures himself when he only depends on the information that is available under heaven and does not comprehend that every thought effectively good he had in life, he only had it because God granted it to him. If some really good idea has been put into practice or if some work performed was, in fact, good, this could only be achieved because God has granted and bestows good things on human beings. Moreover, God often grants good things even to those who insist on rejecting the Lord, so that they, even in opposition to Him, may come to see the manifestation of the grace and mercy of God in order that they also may achieve repentance. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. The reason for human miseries is not primarily in the absence of any item or resource of the creation. It is not the addition of more creation items to the human being that saves people from their worst perdition. The cause of the tortuous ways of the human beings is that they fail to relate to their Creator. The root of the central reason that leads humans to deprive themselves of the life according to the heavenly will, however rich some of them may be in the material aspect, has always been and continues to be in the abandonment of reverence and respect to the eternal Lord, to His name, and to His glory, as well as in the separation from the fellowship with the Creator. No matter how beautiful or majestic God's creation is, and especially the human being, the creation of God was not created to be worshipped, to seek to rise to the status of the Creator, or to dispute the place or position that belongs exclusively to the Lord. In doing a more detailed observation of the text of Romans below, for which we suggest particular attention, it may be observed that, in essence, the sin or improper positioning of the human being passes through a central or convergent point, from which derive the other thoughts, positions, and actions that are contrary to the will of God and which, consequently, are also contrary to the human being and his fellow men. The surrender of a person to the distortion of understanding of how a human being should see oneself and the creation in relation to the Creator, that is, the subjection of a person to the distortion of the truth about the glory due to God, and respectively the glory due to the creation, compromises or corrupts the sobriety of thought and understanding of this person about God, about oneself, and all the creation, as described below. Romans 1, 20-32. For since the creation of the world his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same but also approve of those who practice them. When people try, 1, to equate God with the creature or, 2, equate the creature with God, a god, or gods, they also begin to stop distinguishing God from the creature as they should distinguish, as well as they turn away from the sober understanding about whom they should fear, to give due glory and honor, or whom they should not fear. The roots of the mistakes or sins of humankind always have some connection with the detachment of people from the proper condition of the creature in relation to their Creator. When people, in their hearts and attitudes, accept the distortion of understanding about who they are and who is the unique Creator of the universe, they begin to become corrupted in their own thoughts and inclined to the path of foolishness or opposition to the divine will for their lives. When the understanding that the creature's life depends on the Creator becomes confused in the minds and hearts of the people, they also become more susceptible to the possibility of creating imaginings and widely bizarre and absurd confusions, surrendering themselves more and more to the path that results in dense and profound darkness. The Bible, very explicitly, narrates that there is only one living God and that there is only one God creator of the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Therefore, any variation of the principle that there is a unique creator is a factor that causes darkness to those who accept it, for, according to the scriptures, it is an attempt to change the truth into a lie. Moreover, where space is given for the lie to act, there also are all sorts of madness, strife, and confusion, according to the text already mentioned above, and of which a part is repeated once more following. Romans 1, 22, 23, and 25. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When the human being, as a creature, tries, 1, to reduce the glory of God in resemblance to the image of the corruptible man or of birds, quadrupeds, and reptiles, as well as, 2, tries to raise the glory of the creature to the level at which it passes to be revered and worshipped in place of the Creator or a position equivalent to Him, the human being acts in the simultaneous attempt to transform truth into a lie and lie into truth. Under the mistaken idea that an insistence on a thought or a belief could cause the human being to become what one longs to be in one's distorted and corrupted thoughts. When the creature thinks that it can adequately live its life independently of its Creator, it simultaneously, 1, proposes a disqualification of the Creator's attributes and, 2, proposes elevating the creation to an undue status, trying to convince itself of the madness or folly that the creation, by means of a pretended evolution, has or may have a position with the power to control all the events of life. The last text of Romans referred to above, and described in the context of the proclamation of the gospel of God, is of singular or special richness and objectivity, for it unveils clearly and precisely the root of the major problem of all human beings, which, as already mentioned, is the recurrent attempt to live a life without depending on the Creator. Nevertheless, even though people have been so expressive and direct in opposition to their Creator, God has not forgotten them and has not abandoned them to self-government, pre-announcing, manifesting, offering, and proclaiming to all peoples His eternal gospel of salvation, as well as of the revelation of His everlasting glory. Thus, the gospel of God, together with the characteristic of being the gospel of salvation, is also the gospel that contemplates the possibility or the way for people to be able to see the glory due to God according to the truth. And this, so that people also may, then, abandon the deceptive path in which they thought they could live a victorious life dissociated or partially dissociated from the eternal Creator. Considering that the basis of the problems of human beings lies in the undue glorification of God and themselves, causing the estrangement of the relationship of the people with the Lord, it is necessary that the gospel that offers the salvation for all people also contemplates the solution of the central problem that caused the rupture of fellowship between the human being and the Creator. In this way, the gospel of God is also a gift offered by God to people so that they, in their mind and heart, can reposition themselves on the understanding of the correct order of the functioning of life so that they may repent of their corrupted ways and find the path that the Lord has always intended for all people. The gospel of God, along with an offer of salvation, is the offer of the path of God so that the disorder in which the creature chose to place itself may become aligned with the order established by God. Knowing that God, through His gospel, offers many benefits to be delivered to human beings is crucial. However, equally vital or even more important is to know the central or supreme purposes for which the Lord grants His gospel, being the knowledge of the glory of God, His name, and His instructions, through a living relationship with Him. One of these supreme and indispensable purposes that the Lord desires for all people to perceive and reach. On the other hand, it should also be emphasized here that the gospel of God, born from the love and grace of God, was not generated by chance and was not generated in response to human behavior. Before even creating the human being, the gospel was already available in God to be manifested and made available to humankind in case people would incur the rejection of their eternal Creator. The gospel, since the foundation of the world, was associated with the purpose of manifesting, in the opportune time, the glory of God to people also in their condition of withdrawnness from the Lord in the event of incurring it. The gospel, existing since before the creation of man, has always been associated with God's purpose of manifesting, in the fullness of the time, His glory also through the provision that enables human beings to repent and return to eternal life in God and to the knowledge of the eternal condition of the glory of the Lord even though they have turned away from their eternal Creator. Therefore, the gospel was also given to demonstrate the glory and sovereignty of God in providing in advance the redemption and rescue of the creation of the consequences that could come to it if people chose the path of moving away from the Lord, that is, if people decided to follow the path of sin. Through the gospel, God amply manifested, and continues to demonstrate, to the world His virtues of righteousness, mercy, and forgiveness that already beforehand or eternally were, and continue to be, in God, but which were not so widely known by people before the Heavenly Father offered them the redemption in Christ Jesus. The eternal gospel, already beforehand, was kept in God so that, in due time, it would be manifested to the world that the Lord is also sovereign over everything that is opposed to His creation and, even, that the Lord is indeed mighty to provide forgiveness, remission, redemption, and the way for human beings to repent of their evil paths, an aspect exposed by several texts of the Scriptures and of which follows a list below. Isaiah 55, 3-7. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Galatians 4:3-5. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Hebrews 9:26 b. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 1 Peter 1:17-21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope may be in God. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The gospel of God was manifested to the world to save the human being from the condition of subjection to the lie, falsehood, corrupted beliefs, and distorted understandings that led to a rupture of the fellowship with the Creator, so that, having been redeemed, people may live and walk in accordance with the instruction and the newness of life of God shared with them by means of a restored relationship with the Lord. God is everywhere, and it is impossible for a person to be entirely absent from the presence of God, and neither God is wholly absent from the life of a person on earth, for if he did so, the person would cease to breathe and exist. However, even though God is everywhere, the relationship of reciprocal love between a person and the Lord is only established, in both directions, if the loved one also accepts to love God with the love offered to him or her by God himself through his gospel. Recalling the subject on collocated words and riddles of antiquity, we would like to highlight that the very scriptures clarify the key points they mention. Therefore, the salvation of God mentioned in John 3, verse 16, is also explained in John 17, verse 3, showing that the salvation offered by God through the gospel is also, inseparably, the invitation for people to know the glory of the Heavenly Father and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Plus. John 17, 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. repeating, therefore, in summarized form, and despite the many benefits that God offers people through His gospel, the divine purpose associated with this same gospel will always include 1. The offer of the restoration of the understanding that the Lord is the Creator God of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. 2. The offer of the restoration of the understanding that every human being is very special to God and that God loves a person with the depths of His love, but also that, in no way, the human being is called to place oneself in the position of God or seek to lower the glory of God to the status of the mere creature. 3. The offer of the restoration of the creature's relationship with the Creator through the reconciliation provided by Christ Jesus and based on the truth about the glory that is due to God as the unique eternal Creator. God's love, offered through His gospel, is always associated with the purpose of redeeming all people from bondage to sin, the condemning law, and the eternal condemnation so that they may enjoy a living relationship with the Lord. However, all this is also associated with the purpose that people's understanding of the glory of God and His name may be in conformity with the truth of the unique and sovereign position of the Creator and Lord over the whole creation. Isaiah 45, 22-25. Look to me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified, and shall glory. Isaiah 43, 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Revelation 14:6-7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. Hebrews 8:10-12. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Romans 5:8-11. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.